Amen. Amen. Celebrate King Jesus tonight. And you may please be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. And so tonight we begin the word rally. I'm going to lay a foundation tonight for what I'm going to share tonight and tomorrow. And I'm trusting God that these words will mark a watershed in each of our lives in the name of Jesus. It's Dominion O'Clock. Glory to God. Judges chapter 4. We're going to read the entire chapter, and then we're going to read Judges chapter 5 as well. Now, if you have been listening to me for a long time, you know that usually I don't read a whole chapter when I want to preach. Sometimes it's just one verse or two verses, and that can be a series. But the way the Lord has given this to me, it's important that we understand where this thought is coming from. So we're going to read the whole chapter, chapter 4, and the whole of chapter 5. And then I'll make a few points, and we'll close for tonight. And then we'll be back here again tomorrow in the evening. Tomorrow morning is very important. Don't miss it. And then we'll be back in the evening to conclude this message. So it's a two-part message. And I trust God. Again, I really trust God that this word will revolutionize every area of our thinking, every area of our destinies, and his name alone will be glorified in Jesus' name. Don't waste any prayer. Can I have an amen? Amen. Very important, very important. Judges chapter 4. Let's read together from the word of God. Look into your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, look at the screen. And I'm reading from the KJV. Thank you, media. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. Let me pause here before I continue to read. I want you to understand that if you're writing, you want to write this down, that there are two ways in which God delivers us. There are two ways that God brings deliverance to his people. No matter what your situation may be, there are two general ways from the scriptures that God delivers us. Number one, God can choose to deliver us from our enemies or deliver us from a situation. So if you find yourself in an unpleasant situation, God may choose to deliver you from that situation. And if you're in the hands of an enemy that is too strong for you, God can choose to deliver you from the hand of that enemy. We have an example in Psalm 91 and verse 15, where the Lord said, and I will be with him in trouble. So he's in a situation, but I will be with him in that situation. And I will deliver him and honor him. So God can deliver you from trouble. Can I have an amen to that? Job actually said in one of the chapters that from six troubles will God deliver you. Yay, from seven. And they will not overshadow you. So God can deliver you from trouble. He can also deliver us from an enemy that is too strong for us. So when you are dealing with an enemy that is too strong for you, God can deliver you from them. John
The father of John, Zechariah, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 71, made a statement when John was born, and they were wondering because he was named John. Nobody had ever been named like that in his lineage. And so they were wondering, could this be right? Could this be correct? And then because Zechariah was dumb, he couldn't speak. All of a sudden, a miracle happened, and then the man began to speak. And this was one of the things that he said. He prophesied, and he said that we should be saved or delivered from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Now, whether you like it or not, no matter who you are, there are people that just will hate you for no reason. In fact, the fact that people like you will make some people hate you. But you don't need to kill yourself because of haters. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? If you succeed, they will hate you. If you don't succeed, they will hate you. So why don't you succeed all the way? Are you getting what I'm saying? So don't bother about haters. You have a God who is a deliverer. Zechariah said that we should be saved or delivered from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. I pray for someone tonight, God will deliver you from the hand of your haters. Because no matter what you do, if you like, burn yourself into a sacrifice and give it to them, they will still hate you. No matter what you do, there are people you cannot satisfy in your life. So settle that and know peace and move on with your life. The second way that God delivers us is that God can deliver a situation or an enemy into our hands. And men, I love that. It is not every time God delivers you from a situation. There are times that God will deliver a situation into your hands. There are times that God will deliver an enemy into your hands. And this is exactly what God was saying here. It was the wife of Lapidoth, Deborah, who was saying this, that this was what God said. This is a prophecy. God said, I will deliver him into your hand. This is similar to what David said when he was facing Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, and verse 42 or so, as David stood before Goliath, David said to him, he said, the Lord is going to deliver you into our hands. Now go to verse 47. Go to verse 47 quickly. Verse 47. Glory be to God. Okay, now back up. Back up. That's the verse, but back up to verse 46. Back up. This day, somebody said, this day, will the Lord deliver you into my hand? David was talking to Goliath. He was addressing his problem. He said, this day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. And I will smite you, and I will take your head from you. And I'm going to give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. Next verse, please. Verse 47. And all these assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and they will give you into our hands. Listen, God's people. God, no matter how big a situation may be in your life, and it looks like the end of the world, God can deliver that situation into your hands so that you can domesticate it. Did you hear what I said? God can give you the wisdom to domesticate your challenge. Think about it. You treat it like a domestic animal. A lion ordinarily is not a domestic animal. And unless you want to play with your life, you don't go and buy a lion. The lion is so strong that the Bible testifies that it is the strongest among beasts. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 29 to 30. There be three things that go well. Yea, four are comely in going. Do you know the meaning of comely in going? They don't rush. When you see a lion takes what they call stately strides. You know, the way a lion walks. It's not in a rush. When I see people rushing, I say, what's your problem? Walk like a lion. Amen. Take your time. There be three things that go well. Four are comely in going. Number one, the Bible says the lion which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away from any. No matter who you are, a lion will not turn away from you. At the first sight, it may give you some space as a human being because of the respect, the glory, and the honor, according to Psalm 8 and verse 4, with which God has crowned a human being. But if you don't respect yourself within some twinkle of an eye, the lion will change it. However, as strong as a lion is, do you know that there are people who are trained in domesticating lions? I saw a video on Instagram a couple of days ago. A lady sat down and, I don't know if you've seen it, and a tiger, a very huge tiger, was resting on her shoulders. And there were two guys, and intermittently they brought a feeding bottle to put in the mouth of the tiger. Have you seen that video? Now, that's a domesticated tiger. Now, I wouldn't play around such an animal. Not because I'm afraid. I just want to respect the animal. Respect is reciprocal. Praise God. Amen. It is wisdom to respect. But I'm saying that, you know, several years ago, it wasn't possible to do that. But today, people are doing it. I don't know how they are doing it, but they have their way of doing it. And especially people that have the training in veterinary medicine. They have an idea. They have a way of domesticating. Even snakes. There's a friend of mine in the U.S., and I'm wondering, will I ever visit this lady at home? Because I've seen in several pictures and videos, she's American, several pictures and videos where she'll be playing with snakes. And I said, here, we don't play with snakes here. Praise God. If we see it in the house, we kill it. You don't see a snake, oh, okay, it's just an ant, and then you go to bed. No, an ant is different from a snake. A worm, an earthworm, is different from a snake. Are you getting what I'm saying? One is domestic, the other is not domestic. Are you getting what I'm saying? But I'm saying to you that God can give you the wisdom to domesticate your challenge and to domesticate the enemy. They become your boy. That's why we don't support the prayer. Every enemy from home, what are you waiting for? Fire, fall down, die. No, why are you killing people that should wait on you while you are eating? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil and my cup runneth over. When I'm done eating, the enemies pack the plates and they go and do the washing. Can I get an amen to that? Because they're my domestic staff. Don't worry about haters. They're coming to serve you. Amen. One person said amen. Amen. I will report you to the Lord. Every time you hear me say, Lord, three people said amen. I'm reporting you. Don't waste any prayer. This is a very, very powerful service, and God can do anything for anybody at any time. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, let's go back to Judges chapter 4 and verse 8 now. After Deborah had given the prophetic word, and Barak said unto her, if thou will go with me, then I will go. But if thou will not go with me, then I will not go. The guy wasn't sure. He had heard the prophetic word, but he wasn't sure if he could do it. Like most of us, we don't feel adequate. And let me tell you, God doesn't use people that are qualified. I'm not qualified to be a pastor. I didn't go to seminary. I didn't go to Bible school. My Bible school is the Stone Church. Glory be to God. But you know you're calling, brethren, how that not many noble were called. You find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 25. God doesn't even call the qualified most times. He qualifies the called. So it's okay if God is calling you to an assignment and you feel inadequate. If God is calling you to move to the next level because it's dominion o'clock and you feel, God, are you sure I'm going to succeed? God says, now expand your business. And you say, well, what if I expand it and nobody comes? What if everybody comes? Barak said, ma'am, prophetess, if you ain't going with me, I ain't going nowhere. And she said, verse 9, I will surely go with you. Notwithstanding, listen up. This journey that you take shall not be for your honor. What does that mean? God is going to get the glory out of this journey. God will send you on an errand in the remaining few months of this year, and it will get the glory out of the journey. Yeah. It is good for God to get the glory out of our lives. People look at you and say, are you sure you can do this job? Are you sure this guy is not too young for this contract? And you say, Lord, they said I'm too young, but Lord, help me. They give it to you all the same and you deliver. And they say, come here. How did you learn this? Where did you learn this? How come you're so experienced? Even better than the people we have been using who are older than you. Is somebody receiving that already? Yes, this service is very prophetic, so just receive it. Just receive. Are you ready to receive? Yes, because we know to give many times. We don't know how to receive. You need to learn to receive. For the Lord, this is what God is going to do. The Lord shall sell Sisera into the hands of a woman. This is going to be God's modus operandi. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. And he went up with 10,000 men at his feet. And Deborah went up with him. Now, Heber, there was a man called Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent onto the plain of Zanaim, which is by Kadesh. What is the relevance of this to the story? So the Lord, the children of Israel had been under the power and dominion of their enemies. They created the mess for themselves. You and I know how we create a mess for ourselves sometimes. By virtue of the way we live our lives, very careless, very reckless. Some people are supposed to be in this meeting tonight. They're not here, and they're not doing anything at home. I can't be bothered. And the Lord has a word for them, for their emancipation. The children of Israel, at this time, had no king. They were under judges. The last judge that reigned over them was Ehud. Ehud was the one that killed Eglon. Eglon was a man that oppressed them for a whole... It was for an appreciable length of time. And he was a wicked man. In fact, the Bible described that Eglon as a very fat man. If the Bible says he was a very fat man, how fat do you think he would be? Not plump. Not plump. Fat. As in really fat. And he was a wicked man. So God used Ehud to deliver the children of Israel. Actually, when he went to him, if you read that in Judges chapter 3, he hid a knife. Ehud was a left-handed guy. He was a southpaw. We call left-handed people southpaw. S-O-U-T-H, south, P-A-W, paw. He hid a dagger on his right thigh. So when he went to give presents to this very wicked man, Eglon, and... You know, they made their presence, and then they were all leaving. Then he came back. Every other person had left. He said, I have a secret message from the Lord. So the man stood up. It was in a summer. The Bible describes it as a summer parlor. He was a rich man. He had a summer parlor for himself only. VIP. So Ehud came close to him. He was a southpaw. He reached for his dagger underneath his thigh, brought it out, and put it in the guy's tummy. Very fat man. The Bible says that even the handle of the dagger entered everything. He just put it in. As he put it in, the guy looked like this, and the Bible says dirt came out of him. You know what that means? His intestines burst, and the guy died. Now he locked the doors, and he escaped. And then he went to blow the trumpet, and they came, and then they fought against these oppressors. And for 80 years, they had rest. And you would think that was okay. I mean, to have rest. But the children of Israel, like us today, every time God blesses you, God promotes you, God gives you freedom, you have more money, more customers, what next do you do? You start misbehaving. Because there is ease now. I can afford to take a girlfriend to Dubai. I can afford to slap somebody. I can afford to oppress people. I can afford to show off because I can afford it. That was what led them to come in again under captivity. They came under the captivity of another wicked king, the man called Jabin, the king of Canaan. Now, Jabin, the king of Canaan, had someone as the captain of his host. In Nigerian terminology, we'll call him the chief of army staff. His name was Sisera. This Sisera was a bad guy. He had 900 chariots of iron, almost more than the chariots of Pharaoh of Egypt. 900, not only chariots, they were chariots of iron. Are you following the story? So God was going to deliver them because they cried to God. Somebody said they cried to God. Step number one to freedom is prayer. Step number one is prayer. You can't afford to not pray. And I mean your own personal prayer. Your time alone with God. Not your family altar. Not just the congregational prayer that we come to pray every Monday 3 to 5. And like they're praying at the ICC now 5:30 to 7:30 every Friday. You need to have your own personal time to pray. I cannot overemphasize the importance of prayer. If Jesus with all the anointing didn't do without prayer, you can't do without prayer. Are you with me? In Mark chapter 1 verse 35, the Bible says he awoke very early in the morning. Before the morning broke, he went to a private place and there he prayed. In Luke 18 verse 1, the Bible says he spoke a parable unto this end that men ought always to pray, always, not only on Thursday night, always to pray and not to faint. The number one preoccupation of the Christian is to pray. The apostles prayed. When they were getting distracted, Acts chapter 6, they had to say, look, let's appoint men over tables to serve the widows. Let them take care of the widows, all right? While we give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word, a Christian that does not pray will begin to stink. Your spiritual life will begin to stink. When a fish is going to rot, it rots from the head. When a fish is going to spoil, it spoils from the head. When you stop praying, start spoiling. Prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscles of omnipotence. I can't overemphasize the importance of prayer. In the Old Testament, people pray. Samson was one of the judges in Israel. Samson prayed to get water. He prayed water out, and he named the place En Hakkore, which is still in Lehi till today. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, a woman was barren by the name Anna. Anna prayed herself from barrenness to fruitfulness. In 1 Samuel 1:27, she lifted the baby and said, "For this child I prayed." Do you have any prayer testimony in your life? Do you have any prayer fruit in your life? Can you point to anything in your bedroom and say, "I got this by prayer. I got this by prayer. I got this by prayer. I didn't get it by connection. I didn't get it by sleeping around. I got this by prayer." If you don't have that in your life, you have not started. I don't care what anybody tells you. Prayer is non-negotiable for a Christian. When they came under the heavy weight of the oppression of Jabin, the king of Canaan, they cried to the Lord. The same thing happened when they were under the oppression of Pharaoh. They cried to the Lord and their cry came up to God. And God sent them Moses, a deliverer. If we cry, if the expressioners would cry, if the young people listening to me would cry, if everyone listening and watching online would cry to God, God will bring a change to that situation. In Psalm 116 and verse 2, in the KJV, he said, because he inclines to listen, he inclines to hear, I will pray as long as I live. But I love the New Living Translation. 116 and verse 2. In the New Living Translation, it says, because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes people. Prayer changes situations. If only we can pray, we will see a difference. Psalm 65 and verse 2 says, O thou that hearest prayer. Psalm 65 and verse 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. We serve a God that hears prayers. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, he says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that whatsoever we ask according to his will, he heareth us. Are you with me, God's people? Let's go back to Judges chapter 4. So there was a man by the name Heber, a Kenite, for some reason decided to break fellowship with his lineage, the Kenites. He decided to relocate to a place called the Plain of Zanaim. He built his tabernacle there. He left his family. He left his people. He came with his own nuclear family to this place. But this was going to be a very pivotal and a very phenomenal occurrence. It was going to contribute to the victory of Israel. That a man left his family, his lineage and relocated. I don't mean left his wife and children. I mean left his lineage, his father's house, and relocated because God was going to use that place for his own purpose. It's amazing the way God works. God can make somebody move to Calabar because of you. Somebody can get a job in Ghana because of you. You don't know why now. It might have been 3 years' time. Somebody might have to move to Canada because of you. Because you need to be lifted and you need a link in that country. It's amazing how God is so mindful of us. I will show you. We are going to come back here. You will see the relevance of this man. Because for about 3 months I've been on this scripture. And I've read it every week to the glory of God. And every time God shows me something new. Why Heber the Kenite? Because it was like God was talking this way, then there was a detour, and then the story now continued. So let's continue with the story. Hallelujah. Somebody getting blessed already? I'm blessed sharing this with you. Now, verse 11 again. Now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites. He was a Kenite. He's like a Nigerian who had severed himself from Nigerians. And pitched his tent onto the plain of Zanaim, which is by Kadesh. Kadesh was going to be the battleground. Kadesh was going to be the place where Barak was going to lead the children of Israel to fight their oppressors. And this man pitched his tent close to the battleground by the leading of the Lord. And they showed Sisera. Sisera was the chief of army staff of the wicked king Jabin. Sisera was a wicked man himself. He had 900 chariots of iron. What did he have? One person is listening to me. Chariots of what? This is a class, so listen attentively because I'm going to ask you questions. I'm your lecturer tonight. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And they showed Sisera, the wicked chief of army staff. I don't want you to miss the names, so follow me. Sisera, the chief of army staff, to who? To Jabin, the king of Canaan. You should know Bible names. And when you start getting married in future and you start having children, there are some good names in the Bible. Don't name your child Jabin. And don't name your child Sisera. So I just look at it. Sisera. Like, it's like a city in Italy. He was a wicked man. Don't let his spirit come into that child. Like somebody opened the business and named the business Eloi, Eloi, Lama Sabachthani. And you're wondering why there are no sales. Why would there be sales? See, I just saw it in the Bible and I like it. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani means, my God, why have you forsaken me? So do your research. People bear funny names. I'm telling you, people bear funny names and you wonder why somebody's bearing this name in the from the Bible. Why? Don't you know the story of the person bearing that name? Joachim, Ishmael, and all sorts of names. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots. How many of his chariots? How many chariots did he have? Oh, you guys are good students. He had 900 chariots of iron and he gathered everything. And I'm telling you, as he was gathering it, God was saying, yes, yes, gather it, gather it. Yes, there are times that the enemy thinks that they want to actually pull you down. And God is encouraging them. Yes, yes, do it, do it. Oh, yeah, go on Instagram. Pull her down. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Go on X. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They think they are doing you a harm, but they are actually working out God's purpose for your life. One person heard that. This is a class. Pay attention. Even 900 chariots of iron. The Bible emphasized it. It said all his chariots. Then it now said even 9, in case you forgot, 900 chariots of iron. And all the people that were with him, he gathered how many of the people? How many of the people? All of them. All the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles, where he was living. He was living in Harosheth of the Gentiles. unto the river of Kishon. He moved all the people to the river of Kishon because God was going to deal with them at the river Kishon. 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 Oh my God. Problems, problems, challenges in our lives are going down the river Kishon tonight in the name of Jesus. And Deborah said unto Barak, this is where I'm going. The Holy Ghost showed me this. What did Deborah say unto Barak? She said, up! Somebody shout, up! Shout it so that your spirit man can wake up. One, two, go. She said to him, up! For this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him. There was a particular day they had pitched their tents. They were ready for battle. But on a particular day, Deborah came and said, get up! It's dominion o'clock. It's dominion o'clock. This is the day. This is the day. This is the night. This is the day that the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. This is the night. God has delivered that situation into your hand. You are going to domesticate every problem tonight in the name of Jesus. Everything that has caused you sleepless nights, you will domesticate them and you will go to bed like a baby tonight. You will sleep like a child of God tonight. You wake up as a giant tomorrow in the name of Jesus. Listen up. There are times that the situation may not go away, but God will help you domesticate it. In other words, it's still there, but it doesn't matter anymore. The senior pastor shared the story of a woman in one of our churches who had a demon. And they tried and tried to cast out the demon. The demon wouldn't go. But the demon was preventing her from getting pregnant in our branch in Oluyole, I think. So he said that by the Spirit of God, demon, don't go, stay there. But this woman will be pregnant and she will have children. Boom, she got pregnant. First baby came, boom. Second baby came, boom. I don't know how many babies. But she's a beautiful mother of children as we speak tonight. And the demon probably is still there. That is God preparing the table in the absence. Come on now. Look. Victory is sweet in the presence of those who said you will never amount to anything. I don't understand where people got that prayer from. Every enemy from home fall down, die. No, they don't have to die. If you kill everybody from my family, then who's going to celebrate with me? Glory be to God. Deborah said, up! Say it once again. Say, up! Look at me. I saw this before this microphone came. God bless the young man that bought this microphone because I love to use my hands. I saw this before the microphone came. Up! I can imagine Deborah. I can imagine that she went to the tent where Barak was sleeping. And she clapped her hands. Up! This is the day! Let that resonate in your spirit. That challenge is not following you to next year. I said that situation is not following you to next month. I mean it is not following you to next week. And I mean it's not following you to tomorrow. And I even mean it's not following you to the next hour. And I mean that right now, by the help of the Holy Spirit, it's not following you to the next minute. You have the victory when? What time is it? It's dominion o'clock. For how long are we going to fold our hands and watch the devil mess us up? For how long are we going to allow the devil to have a field day in our head, a field day in our finances, our health, our business, relationship, family, spiritual life? For how long? When we already have the victory. This is a message to wake us up from passivity and be at the front burner of your life. Stop chilling in the back burner. Be involved with God. Get along with God. Get things done by faith. Move on with God. You can get that dream job. Nobody came to church. I've told you this is a very prophetic service. Don't waste anything. I, by the Holy Ghost, said some time ago that some of our church members will travel in a hurry. And it's happening already. One of our sisters who was applying to go to Europe, she didn't know it would be that fast. I didn't know it would be that fast. But the day I declared it, she put on her status, and it's still there, supernatural acceleration. Because I heard that clearly by the help of the Holy Ghost. I heard it clearly. It's time for supernatural acceleration. I heard it clearly. I heard it clearly. She went to Abuja to apply. Normally, you'll have to sort, pay people, do this, do that. They get you a number. It takes time. People have been in Abuja for 3 weeks, 1 month, paying for hotel just to get appointment, to apply there, to attend their visa interview. My goodness, she got there. The day she got there, went to the Ministry of Education, then to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. They did everything for her in a hurry. She found herself the next day at the embassy as she was landing from the Bolt, the Uber ride that she took. The man on the queue said, "Now, today, we are not following the list." They had the list. People had paid to get on the list, to get a number on the list. Her name was not on the list. And all of a sudden, as she was getting down from the taxi, the man said, "Today, we are not following the list. I have a God that jumps protocol." Hey, Gedoba Sata Yalaba. The remaining 2 months of this year, testimonies like exaggeration will happen in this church. Testimonies you will share, people say you are lying. It's a lie. It's a, because it doesn't happen that way. Things that don't happen usually, God will do in your life in the name of Jesus. They say you have to go from point A to point B to point C to point D before you go to point Z. I serve a God that can take you from point A to point X. It can jump you from X to Z. It can take you from 1 to 1 million. You think I'm exaggerating? John chapter 6, if you read it from verse 16, I think, all the way down to 20, the apostles were in the boat, and the boat was already traveling. Jesus didn't follow them. He was on the mountain praying. God bless you. And so when even was coming, disciples went down to the sea. Go, quick, media. And entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. Jesus lived in Capernaum. They were going home after a crusade. So they left him. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. He allowed time to go. It was now dark. And the sea arose by reason of a great blue. Yes. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh to the ship, and they were afraid. This was, I think, the second time the Gospels record he was walking on the sea and they were afraid. But see what happened. He said to them, "It's I, be not afraid. Move." Move now. Then they willingly received him when they knew it was Jesus. They willingly received him into the ship. As he got into the ship, the Bible says, my Bible, I don't know about your Bible, our Bible says, and immediately the ship was where? If you read KJV, you don't understand it. At the land whither they went. What's whither? Give that to me in New Living Translation. Just that verse. John 6:21. Let's read it together, everybody. Then they were eager to let him in the boat. And immediately they arrived. They arrived where? The moment Jesus got into the ship. Oh, lesakata yalaba. Somebody saw supernatural speed. He got into the ship got to land. That is my Jesus. I don't know if that's your Jesus. I'm prophesying that this season God will do things that will astound you. things that are not normal in your business, in your relationship, in your career, in your finances, in your education, in your family, between your parents. God is going to do things that are not normal, things that are not usual. How many people are receiving tonight? I came loaded. So you had better be empty to receive enough so that you can go back loaded. Because it's impossible for God's word to lie. It's impossible for such a word like this to be coming out and there won't be result. I told God, I said, Lord, I don't just want to be a professional preacher. I can't just be preaching this much and we won't be having this much result. And God began to show me, boom, boom, like popcorn is popping out now. The lady could not even wait to attend the blaze. She had paid for her uniform as an usher. For a uniform for her blaze. God was so much in a hurry to get her to Europe. I said, come to Bible study on Thursday. Let me pray for you. I have a winter jacket I'll give you. Because where you are going is very cold. She said, okay, pastor, we'll come on Thursday. She couldn't even come on Thursday. God was so much in a hurry. So much in a hurry. One of our brothers got a job as the personal assistant to the chairman of Ibadan North local government. I don't mind to share that with you. And in about 1 or 2 weeks, they had published their names everywhere. He sent all the links, the news to me. Then he came to church and gave me his complimentary card, gave me 3 copies. He said, pastor, in case you need anything and you think that the chairman can do, I said, okay, thank you very much. I don't know where I put the cards, but it's my boy. And then he called me one day and said, pastor, we have some slots, but they gave me only 2. We need people to train. They want to train them, but usually they want women in agriculture because there's a grant from some foreign organization. And I said, I have more than 2 people as a pastor because I know people that need jobs in my church. I must know the affairs of my people. I must know your state. If I'm a good pastor, I must know what's going on with your life. And if you're a good son or good daughter also, you need to open up so that we can know how to help. Long story short, we were able to get a slot for his sister. She had not yet completed her training. 3 months. When the brother got another opening to work with a governor. This time, not local government chairman, but to work with the governor. And he called me on the phone and said, pastor, I want you to agree with me because they've sent my CV and it's like, I might have to go to Ekiti or go to Abuja. They said the governor needs to see me. Ladies and gentlemen, he is not in a blaze tonight. He's probably online because he has resumed that job with the governor. Talk about divine acceleration. That's the God I serve. But do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? Is unto you according to your faith. I was going to Lagos last week. And I wanted to travel by train. And I got reminded that I have a daughter that works with the NRC. A member of my church. Started the kind of people that came wore bathroom slippers. And a woman said, I will never allow my children, Stone Church woman, I would never allow my children go to the Expression House. It's for people that are very poor. They wear bedroom slippers to church. Besides that, Sunday afternoon is when we like to have lunch. We sit around pounded yam and chicken in my house. We said, thank you, ma'am. The people that were wearing bathroom slippers in those days, even those people, those sets, they've left. Even the story has changed. And I just texted my daughter and said, what's the process of getting a ticket? I've done it before, but it's been a while. And I've not been to Lagos in a long time. I've been very busy, occupied in Ibadan. And she said, sir, just send me your NIN and bloom. And then I got a ticket. I didn't have to spend money. And I got on the train. And before I knew it, 2 of them came to greet me. She, being a nurse on the train, she works as a nurse on the train. So I have a nurse on the train. Glory be to God. How does that feel, like the pastor of a nurse on a train? Very soon, I'm gonna be the pastor of a nurse on a plane. praise God! And I have IT people that be working on the plane. And guess what? The other lady was also going to Lagos, and the 2 of them came to greet me, and they brought a bottle of water and biscuits and said, pastor, just chill, relax, enjoy yourself. I said, man, I'm going to chill. You know what I'm saying? And I wore my shorts. I like to travel light, so I was chilling. When I was returning to Ibadan the next day, I didn't come with the economy class. I came with business coach.
And it was all expense paid from the same church where they told me that the people wear bedroom slippers. We ain't seen nothing yet. God is going to move you forward. Did you hear what I said? I said, God is going to move you forward. I said, God is going to move you forward. And someday, some of you will hear that pastor wants to go to America. I say, Pastor, you don't need to buy your ticket. First class, booked. And it's not just going to be pastor alone. Pastor, wife, and the two kids. Can I have an amen? Because God is going to promote you that much. One person bought us 100 chairs, a member of this church. A blaze, not a prayer. It has happened. The one you are sitting on. And hey, keep down the distraction. A blaze was coming. And I made an announcement, we need money. And then we need to, by the grace of God, the next time you come for a blaze, which is next year, this place is going to look totally different. We have the architectural design already. And we're going to have ACs. Amen? Because not only God deserves the best things, we also deserve the best things. We are the children of the Most High God. Not the Most Low God. The Most High God. And He has given us desires. And God will not give us desires for something He can't provide. Did you hear what I said? Mark 11:24, and whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. From this church, God will raise employers of labor. I mean, He will employ 10 people working for you, 20 working for you, 50 working for you, 500 working for you. A lady came, let me give you another one. A lady came last week, one of our sisters. But she's not been around for a while. And so she came, going through some very funny situation, a delay in her visa process to go to Canada, PR. And I prayed. Because of the prophetic word, God said supernatural acceleration. So as I was praying, it spilled out of my mouth before I could even think. That in a matter of days, you are going to get that email. All the people they applied together, she was the one that gave them the links. She's a vet doctor. She gave her friends the links. All of them have gone. Her case, for no reason, was just delayed. No email, no communication, was just there. And you know what it means to be in limbo? You don't even know what to expect. And by the word of the Lord, I decreed supernatural acceleration. Ladies and gentlemen, then she came to this cubicle. The next day, she sent me a text. Pastor Fred, the email has dropped. She was here last night. She's probably online now. And in November, she's going to Canada. You are next in line in the name of Jesus. The word of God is no respecter of your background. It's happening for them because they are doctors, they are lawyers. No, baby. It's happening because, you know, Pastor Fred, you speak good English. You know, your dad must be a professor. Far from it. He didn't even have a first degree. Forget about your background. My background is the cross now. Where are you coming from, Pastor Fred? The cross. Jesus died for me on the cross and paid the price. And I'm going from dominion to dominion. And you are going from dominion to dominion. What time is it, Expression House? When are you going to have dominion? Is it going to be tomorrow? Is it going to be next week? No wonder Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Not tomorrow faith. Now faith. Not yesterday faith. Now faith. When is God going to do it? Let's go back to Judges chapter 4. I hope I'm able to get to chapter 5. But if not, it's fine. I'll get there tomorrow. Somebody getting blessed already? Oh, glory to God. Oh, I'm going to read verse 9 again. And she said, Deborah said to Barak, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey. Oh, no, we've left that place. Let's move on. Verse 13. And Sisera gathered all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, up! That was where we stopped. For this is the day. When is the day? This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad. I will be glad. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. Oh, I will rejoice and be glad. Oh, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I take every day as very special. Every day is special because anything good can happen for me every day. Same for you. Can I have an amen? Amen. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak immediately moved into action. He went down from Mount Tabor. God said, go to Mount Tabor. Instead, he camped there. But the moment it was time for the battle, he went down from Mount Tabor. Somebody say Mount Tabor. And 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera. I thought it was Barak that was supposed to fight. No, be me they fight, but I made they win. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. That's a stupid thing to do. I looked up the word discomfited. One translation says, the Lord made him panic. Somebody say panic. You know, when people panic, they can do dumb things. As a driver, when you're driving, if you panic, you can press the accelerator instead of the brake. You actually want to slam the brakes, and then you gas it up. In America, they gas it up, man. And the car will jump forward. But that's not going to be your car, amen? Yeah. I'm just telling you what happens when people panic. You can have a brake. As a learner, when you're learning to drive, you have your brakes. Your brakes are good. But out of panic, you roll down your window, you're begging people, please leave the road, please leave the road. Leave the road. You have your brakes. God. El Elohe Israel, God, the God of Israel, made Sisera to panic. He so panicked, he got down off of his chariots and started running with his legs. How far can you run compared to the speed of your chariot? It's like you getting out from your car and you're running. Where are you running to? How far can your legs? Are you with me, church? How far can your legs take you? But the man had panicked, so he didn't know what he was doing anymore. Oh, my. The battle went sore against him. In spite of his 900 chariots, his men were being slaughtered like crazy. He knew, look, this battle is overwhelming. Am I not fighting Barak and the children of Israel? But the level of defeat he was recording was more than meets the eye. It was more than the ordinary. Because when God steps into your battle, the host of heaven fights for you. One of the covenant names of God is El Sabaoth. And it's part of our confession. You remember our Sunday confession? I hope you are taking it every day. El Sabaoth. El Sabaoth means the Lord of angel armies. So as God has physical armies, he has angel armies. That was what David said when he faced Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. He said the armies of the living God, the armies of the God of Israel. Because Israel does not only have a physical army, they have a spiritual army. Ask Hamas. ask all the Islamic nations sending artilleries and rockets into Israel. Sometimes they say they don't understand. It looks like the God of Israel just redirects their rockets. They shoot it. These are intercontinental ballistic missiles programmed to go to a place and hit a target, and it will get lost in the air. Stop living an ordinary life. You are not ordinary. Jesus died for you to stop being ordinary. There is something called the ministry of angels. In Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, it says, "And the Lord shall give his angels charge over you to..." Now, he shall give his angels advice. He shall beg his angels. What will he give them? The word charge there is actually a military terminology, a command. He will give his angels charge over you to do what? To keep you in all your ways. Verse 12. They shall bear you up in their angels have hands that can carry you. I said angels have hands that can carry you. They will bear you up with their hands lest you dash your foot against the stone. How I escaped a pothole from Ondo State to Ibadan a few months ago can only be best explained by the ministry of angels. I was on top speed. And you know, Mercedes likes to run. When you are running, the thing is very happy. But be careful. I usually am not a reckless driver. But I hit that spot, and how I escaped it remains a mystery. But I know it's traceable to the ministry of angels, because they will keep my foot from being dashed against the stone. There was a pastor in America who got a distress call in the night, a text message. "Please come and pray for me. I'm dying." The person sent the address. In America, you don't need to know anybody's house. Once you have the address, put it on the GPS. It's also in Lagos, not just America now. Thank God for Nigeria. Things are also getting better. And Nigeria is blessed in the name of Jesus. If they like, let them move the field to 1,500 naira per liter. You will survive. You will thrive. You will flourish. You will build your own house. You will buy your own cars. They say, "Where are the cars on the road?" Because people can't afford to buy fuel anymore. Have you bought a car yet? Nobody came to church. You don't want to drive a car in your life. "But my God shall supply all your need according to the economy of your country." According to what? "Riches in glory by Christ Jesus." How rich is Christ Jesus in glory? A little bit. Can pay your house rent. Barely manage to pay your house rent. Barely manage to send you to school. Barely manage to hand you a scholarship. Barely manage for you to dress well. Barely manage for you to feed. Listen, according to his riches in... Did he say according to his poverty in shame? According to his riches in... Do you know the glory of God? Anyways, that pastor got a distress message. He drove to the place in the dead of the night. Nobody showed up. This is the address. He got down from his car. He looked round. Nobody. After a while, he just got back into his car and drove back home. The next day, he got another text message. "Who were those men in white that came with you last night? You came with an army." And the person described the instrument they carried. You know what actually happened? They tricked him to that place because they wanted to kill him. Pastors are very vulnerable. We are very vulnerable. They wanted to kill him. He didn't know. With the pastor's heart, he went to go and help. He got there. It was an assassin that wanted to kill him. But the assassin saw angels. The pastor didn't see angels. He didn't see nobody. They took off, sent him a text the next day. Why did you come with an army? Are you surprised? Hebrews 1:14 on the screen. I've done a teaching on this before. I'll do it again in the future. Read it, everybody. One, two, go. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Are you a heir of salvation? So you have angels as ministering spirits sent forth to minister for you. Sent to assist you. Barak, Deborah the prophetess, 10,000 soldiers from Zebulun and Naphtali got assisted by angels. That was what made Sisera, the wicked chief of army staff to Jabin, the king of Canaan, leave his chariot and zoom off. Let's finish the story. And we just might end there tonight. Oh, glory to God. Are you blessed reading this with me? Oh. Now, verse 16. But Barak pursued after the chariots. Don't forget, this guy had left his chariot, Sisera. But Barak was still pursuing after chariots. And after the host, unto Harosheth of the Gentiles. Because the battle took them back to where they came from. They were living in Harosheth of the Gentiles. They came from there to fight Israel. Israel fought them. The angels fought them. The stars in the galaxies fought them. The nature fought them. So they ran back to their country. Those who didn't die. And they followed them and killed all of them. Now, and all the host of Sisera fell. How many of them fell? Come on, talk to me, church. Just a few more minutes to go. Give me 10 minutes extra, please. And all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword. And there was not a man left when God shows up. Not one problem will remain in your life. How be it? Lord, two people said amen. How be it? Sisera fled away on his feet. The Holy Ghost was following him. As he was running, the Holy Ghost was recording it, was putting it in the heart of somebody to write it in the Bible. He was running. He thought nobody saw him, but the Holy Ghost was following him. He said, albeit, Sisera fled on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Do you remember Heber the Kenite? The guy that severed himself from his family and then pitched his tent in Kadesh. It was his tent, his wife's tent, that Sisera, the wicked man, ran to. He ran to a female hostel. I don't know what he was looking for. He wanted to watch pornography. Stupid boy. If you went to UI, what are you doing in India as a young man? What are you doing in Queens Hall? What are you doing in Olori? Or Moremi in Ife? What you doing there? What you doing there? Ask your neighbor, say, what you doing there? Say like an American. Don't say, what are you doing? They say, what you doing there? Prepare for your American trip. Don't go to the embassy speaking. Don't go and disgrace me there. I want to go to America. Because my auntie that is there now send me invitation. Now all of you that speak that kind of stupid English because you are following some comedian on the internet, you better wake up because before you know it, it becomes permanent in your tongue. So yells. What nonsense. Speak it like it should be spoken. And when you want to speak Yoruba, speak it well. Amen? Yeah. You want to speak Efik, speak it well. Abadie, Irioka. You want to speak Hausa, speak it well. Inakuana, no Inashuana. Sounds funny, but it's real. It's real. He went to the female hostel. Sisera fled away on his feet. Sisera, where are you going? He headed to the tent of Jael. Blessed be Jael among women, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, his ogah, his principal, the king of Hazor, a very wicked man, and the house of Heber the Kenite. But Heber had moved away from the house of his fathers. He had decamped. But Sisera thought, well, he's still our guy. Let me run to his tent for cover. He went for asylum. He went to seek asylum. And Jael, beautiful woman. You can Google this. You can Google the picture. Even though it won't be the real picture you would see, but fine woman. Jael went out to meet Sisera. Oluwa me. Why are you running and falling down, getting up and falling down, breathing like this? Why are you panting? Take it easy, please. Come in unto me. Emabo. Oh, woman power. When a woman says, Emabo, and you become dumb. Oh, okay. And she said, turn in, my lord. Ah, what a woman. What a woman. She even respected him. She knew what she was going to do, but she respected him. My lord. Respect will get any man, any day, any time, anywhere. Respect can make you fall in love with the wrong person. Men and respect. Turn in, my lord. Turn in to me. Fear not. Emaberu, calm down. Tell your neighbor, say, calm down. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And when she made him feel comfortable, he now made a request. Jael, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink. He had run on foot. He had run on a dusty road. His whole garment was full of dust. His boots were dirty. He was thirsty. He was famished. He was hungry. But he needed water to survive. Could you please give me water? A little, just a little water to drink. Now, see what she did. For I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk. Chilled milk, fresh milk, and gave him drink and covered him. And he drank it. Go, 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 go. He drank his last. And she covered him. And as she was leaving, again he said unto her, see, stupid man, they gave you little comfort. He thought he was the commander of the house. Stand in the door. Stand in the door of the tent. See, can you imagine his tone? Excuse me. Stand in the door of the tent. And see the instruction. And it shall be, when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, is there a man here? Is there any man here? That thou shalt say, no, lie. Did you hear? Like when your father tells you, if anybody says, ask of me, tell them I'm not at home. That was how we were trained unintentionally to lie. When mommy says, tell, I'm not here. I'm not around. Hello, ma. My mommy said I should tell you that she's not around. Children are innocent. God bless all our children. And all of you children of God, all of us, God bless us. Are you following this story tonight? Don't worry, we'll be done in a bit. Tell them no. If any man ask of any man, is any man here? Tell them no. Tell them what? No. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent. Now, this is not a small nail. If you have ever been to parties where they used marquee, you know the kind of nail. They used to fasten a marquee to the floor, to the ground, very long. That was what she used because they were living in tents. So there were extra nails there. She took one of them. What was she going to do with this? Took a nail of the tent and took an hammer in her hand. Is she a carpenter now or a tent maker? And went softly, softly. I'm tempted to sing a song, but I will not sing it. It will distract you. Don't pick it. It's the song that I used to sing, Fred B.C., Fred before Christ. She went, are you guessing the song? Don't guess it. No. I sanctify your mind in the name of Jesus. She went softly to kill him softly. Soft work. She went softly unto him. And what did she do? And smote the nail into his temples.
Nobody can survive this one.
Into his temples and fastened it to the ground. Look at me. The nail entered the temple, came out from here, and fastened his head to the ground. He wanted to shake his head. He could not shake it. Blood everywhere. Bloody, bloody gospel. Blood in every direction. Blood on her gown. Blood on her wrapper. Blood on the floor. Fastened it to the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary. Utire, he had run. He thought he had escaped. He had taken cold milk. The cold milk helped him to sleep very well. He was sleeping and snoring. I could imagine him sleeping yakata. You know the way you snore sometimes. When you snore forward, you also snore backward. That is, it goes. Then even when you try to stop snoring, you stop snoring by snoring. The woman watched him very well. Took the nail, took the hammer, came close. One! If she had missed it, death for her. Automatic death for her. That man would have killed her. So she could not afford to miss it. A sharpshooter. You will not miss it in the name of Jesus. So he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera. Barak, oh, this Shishe. He had pursued all the chariots. He didn't see Sisera. He had finished all the men. He didn't see Sisera. Where's Sisera? But in the course of still pursuing, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. I know the man you are looking for. I'm going to show you. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead. And the nail was in his temples. It was still there. Blood was still gushing out. The nail was still there. He was there dead. How had the mighty fallen? So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. In chapter 5 opened with a song of Deborah, the prophetess. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the two of them that won the battle, one spiritual, the other physical. They had to combine. The spirit and the word of God worked together. They had to combine. And they sang a song. They said, praise ye the Lord. Oh, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. As she was singing and singing, she got to verse 13. Verse 13, which was the main thrust of this convention, this conference. Then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. I decree as we close tonight, from tonight you have dominion over the mighty. In the name of Jesus. I'm coming back here tomorrow. But let me show you one verse that amuses me every time. Verse 27. This was part of, let's take it from verse 26. Just 26 and 27, and then we close. This was still part of the song of Deborah, the prophetess, and Barak, the warrior. He asked water. Oh, no, take it from, back up to verse 24. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. All our sisters, you are blessed. All our brothers, you are blessed. Jael was blessed because she was used by God. She was used to fulfill the purpose of God. Next verse. He asked water. Who asked water? Who asked water? Sisera. Don't forget these names. We are coming back there tomorrow. He asked anybody that didn't come tonight and is coming tomorrow will have to catch up with us. We would have gone ahead, but they will have to catch up. He asked water and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. Butter in a lordly dish. Nice dish. Some of you want to entertain your guests and you don't do it well. You do it in a very, very shabby manner, in a very poor manner, like the person is a beggar. No. She was going to kill him, but she gave him first class treatment. First, she brought milk and she brought butter in a lordly dish because he was a lord. And she knelt down to serve him. My lord, take the milk and take the butter. You need the butter to calm down. You need the milk to sleep because you need to sleep. And he was taking it. He kun jogede, he kun ready. He kun mokwen kun tunduluman payo. That's Spanish. But there's a Yoruba translation. He kun jogede. Ikun ready. Ikun mo pe nkan to dun a ma pa ni. He was drinking milk. He was chopping butter. In a lovely dish. You know I'm a lord. You are a good woman. What's your name? Jael. I will jail you later. I will give you a land. I'll give you a house. This your husband is a poor man. I will set you up. The woman said, oh my lord. Oh my lord. Let's close tonight. And she put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. Her right hand. And with the hammer, she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. And this is where I'm going. I rehearsed this for so long. And I wanted to rehearse and confess it. At her feet, he bowed. He fell. He lay down. Three things. At her feet, he bowed. One, he fell. Two, he lay down. Three. At her feet, he bowed. He fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. Can we go over that together? One, two, go. At her feet, he bowed. He fell. He lay down. At her feet, he bowed. He fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. One more time. This is very prophetic. Because they are coming against you, but at your feet they will bow. They are not just going to bow, they are going to fall. And they are going to lie down lifeless. Let's take it together. One, two, go. At our feet, he bowed. He fell. He lay down. At our feet, he bowed. He fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. Stand on your feet, everybody. What time is it? Has somebody been blessed tonight? It's a good place to stop so that you can come tomorrow and hear the conclusion of the matter. I have some scriptural truths I want to share with you, two of them. from this old covenant classic. This was an old covenant classic with New Testament relevance. Father, we thank you tonight. Oh, Father, the Father of spirits, oh, the God of all flesh, I know that you have an agenda. And your agenda for us as a church, not just the Expression House, the body of Christ all over the world, the agenda of God right now is dominion. And if you are sensitive in the spirit, you will know this is what God is emphasizing now. As the darkness is getting darker, as people are getting into depression, as world economy is crumbling, it is not time for the church to pack up and disappear. It is time for God's children to arise and shine because our light is come. It is time to walk in dominion. One person said, amen, Lord. Amen. Dominion over Satan. Amen. Dominion over demons. Amen. Dominion over principalities and powers. Dominion over spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. Dominion over every unclean spirit. Amen. Causing sicknesses and diseases. Amen. Dominion over sicknesses and diseases. Amen. Dominion over poverty and lack. Amen. Dominion over early physical death. Amen. Dominion over spiritual death. Amen. Dominion over spiritual lukewarmness. Amen. Father, as a people, oh, can we join our hands as a church? This is how we close tonight. Instrumentalists, drop the instruments. One church. Yes, people who can get to where I am, from that end, come. Media, come. Thank you, Lord. Let the system just be running on its own. Let the cameras be running on their own. You come. One church. One church. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Real quick, real quick. Ole Baharas Tahala Bahane. Yes, Lord. Mahale Storia Baraste. Everybody joining hands. Please do it somehow. Do it. No broken chain. Lerosto Bahale. I didn't rehearse this. I didn't plan this. This is the Lord. Loria Bahari. Please do it quickly. No need for stories. Let's do this and get it done. Lebra hadia da bahaya. Oh, brendo stella disto. Kine mahale toria da bahaya. Oh, breketelia. Father, in the name of your Son Jesus Christ, I decree tonight as one body, we begin to walk in dominion. Whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Amen. Whatsoever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Amen. Therefore, every work of the flesh, every work of darkness, strife, bitterness, unforgiveness, envy, rivalry, unhealthy competition, backwardness, small thinking, sickness and disease, poverty and lack, joblessness, hopelessness, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, mental and emotional disorders. Out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Working so hard, having little to show for it. Sweating and working like an elephant, eating like an ant. Labor, 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 no favor. Randos de les de les dorados de. Kishalo mambreka de dia. Ah ha 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 ha. Oh, we dip our feet tonight in the blood of Jesus Christ. In the blood of the everlasting covenant. And according to Revelation 12:11, we overcome you, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we love not our lives even unto the death. And we command you, pack your dirty hands and stuff
out of this church and get out in the name of Jesus.
I pray for everyone struggling, hustling. Kai. The end has come tonight. I decree favor. Help. Supernatural help. Everyone who has been crawling, now start running. Everyone who has been running, start flying. It is time for our flight. And it's a dominion flight. Oh, we dominate the works of darkness. Oh, we dominate barriers. Oh, thank you, Lord. There are people here. God is going to raise you above your family level. The kind of landmark achievements that no one has ever recorded in your entire lineage, maternal and paternal, you are going to achieve. Oh, the Lord is raising tonight trailblazers, barrier breakers, line crossers. They have drawn lines for you and say you will never go beyond this line. Tonight you cross the line. Take a step forward prophetically, everybody. You cross the line.
In the name of Jesus.
From tonight, begin to fly high. Become an enviable flyer. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 8. Who are these that fly above the clouds, like doves to their windows? From tonight, they will look at you and say, who is this enviable flyer? Yeah. Don't be afraid of envy. You will be envied. Yeah. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whose I am and whom I serve, nobody will have the opportunity to pity you. Yeah. They will envy you. Because the things that will be happening in your life from tonight will not be ordinary. Amen. Some of you on your way home tonight, that phone call will come. Amen. That email will drop. You'll be remembered in that place. Amen. You'll be remembered in high places. Amen. Some of you have been forgotten for a long time. The Lord tonight opens the book of remembrance. And the king could not sleep because Mordecai had to be promoted. The king will not be able to sleep tonight. Some people in some part of the world will suffer insomnia tonight. Because he will be favored in the name of Jesus. Give him praise tonight. Woo! Shout glory! What time is it? Glory be to God.